Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Good morning. This is the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC Radio, and I'm Beth Fertig, sitting in for a vacationing Brian Lehrer. What kind of book owner are you? Do you love them and leave them, easy come, easy go, or do you still have your drooled-upon copy of Goodnight Moon and every book you've owned since? As products become more and more disposable, and space for bookshelves less and less affordable, especially here in New York, how do you solve the problem? Throw them away? Resell them? Alina Turgend writes the Shortcuts column in every Saturday's New York Times business section, and she's explored this dilemma in depth. She joins us now, and a little later we'll talk to Fred Bass of New York Strand Bookstore and Tom Wayne, who runs a used bookstore in Kansas City. You may have heard about him because he recently burned some of his stock that he couldn't sell and couldn't afford to store any longer. And then we'll talk a bit about the aesthetic of used books with photographer Mark Joseph. And we'll take your calls with your used book strategy at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. First, let me welcome Alina Turgend. How are you doing?
Hi. First of all, Beth, it's Turgend.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Sorry. In your essay, which we've linked to our website, it's in Time Select, you write that you're a reformed book hoarder. Can you tell us a little of your story with books?
Yes, I love books. I've always read, and I used to collect them, hoard them. And then when I got married, my husband was the same way. And we had, I'd say, hundreds, if not thousands, of books. But in 1994, we moved to London and realized, first of all, we couldn't ship all those books over to London. So we got rid of hundreds of them, sold them, gave them to libraries, etc. However, when we landed in London, and we had all our books shipped over there, the remaining ones, we moved into a much smaller flat and realized there's absolutely no way, even the remaining books, we'd have to get rid of hundreds more of them. But what I also realized is I was no way so attached to them anymore, that they just were books. They were no longer these precious items that I had to hold on to for the rest of my life.
And so the process of moving, it sort of made you detach a little more?
Exactly.
So what did you do?
Well, we sold some to used bookstores. We gave a lot to libraries. We gave some to friends. And since then, I've just found that, you know, a few books I want to hold on to the rest of my life, but many of them I can read and give away. And it doesn't feel, I don't have that painful feeling that I'm giving away a part of myself.
Now, you obviously aren't alone in holding on to your books a little too long. So what did you find in your research? Do other people have the same sentimental attachment? And can it, you know, go away when you move? Do you sort of lose your attachment when you have to purge?
I found it really varied. I spoke to a number of people, one a professional organizer who said she found that often one of the first things that have to go when she's helping people organize, whether they're downsizing or simply trying to organize their lives, is they have an extremely hard time getting rid of books, especially children's books, books they read to their children. And that often they cry, they simply can't get rid of them, and she finds that she has to go through almost a therapy session with them to try to find a way to have them let go at least of most of them.
Oh, so it's the children's books that are most poignant for her.
Yes, in many cases. And I find that to be the case, too. You get rid of a lot of them, but then you remember the book that you've read over and over to one of your children. And much as you want to put that in the pile to get rid of, you think about that time you read it at bedtime, and it's just really hard to get rid of it.
Well, we want to invite our listeners to call in. If you have a particularly poignant story of a book that you couldn't part with, or if you have a strategy for how to get rid of your books, please give us a call at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. I'm Beth Fertig, filling in for Brian Lehrer, and our first guest is Alina Turgend, a New York Times contributor, who has written about this from a personal perspective and also from interviewing other people. We know there are all these decluttering programs on television like The Learning Channel and HGTV for people who have trouble parting with stuff, but books are different, aren't they?
Yes, indeed. I mean, books are not your TV, your inanimate appliance. I think people have a very personal connection to books. One of the suggestions this personal organizer gave was, first of all, she tried to wean people down to keeping, let's say, 10 books. We're talking children's books now. Let's say 10 of your children's books. Those seem to be the hardest to get rid of. Let's say even your children are grown. You want to keep some of them. She suggested making a memory book, say, taking photos of the fronts, the covers of the books, and keeping them in some sort of memory book. I don't know if that would work for everybody, but I guess it's helpful for some of her clients.
Did you ever try it yourself, Alina Tugend?
No, what I really did try to do is just weed them out. I managed to get them down. I have two children, probably to two or three per child. I couldn't get rid of the Dr. Seusses, though. Those I've kept.
What about if you decide that you want to make room for new books? What are the options? Because you mentioned a couple of different places that people could go to that are good at the book swapping and things like that.
Right. Well, one of the most obvious, and I think what people do try to do, is go to their local library. And I think that's always a good option. Local libraries do like to get books. The one thing they said, though, is that they often – I went to my local library, and then I spoke to the American Library Association. They get people who can't bear to give away their books, but they're old, they're moldy. They bring in books that nobody can use, but they say, I can't bear to throw this away. And as my local librarian said, so we have to throw them away. So if they're really unusable, throw them away.
Okay.
But if they're usable, give them to your library. If they can't use them, if they can't put them on their shelves for people to check out, they'll sell them. And that's a great fundraiser for libraries. So that's always a good option. Try doing that.
Then there are people who want money for their used books, right?
Right. And of course, there's used bookstores. You can always try that. They often only want books in really good shape and books that can sell. That means the bestseller of 10 years ago that nobody's interested in now, probably they won't be interested in. But you can also try. There's various websites. There's eBay has one called half.com. Amazon has them. The online options seem to be very popular now. And a lot of people feel that they're good. They're not driving used bookstores out of business. They're just another way of people to get access to used bookstores and for people to get rid of their books without throwing them out.
If you go online, though, you have to pay for the shipping, right?
In many cases, you do. In many cases, you do. People also find that in other ways they want to just donate their books to a good cause. And there's that. One of the ones I mentioned on my website is betterbooks.com. And that's one of those that wants to donate proceeds. They collect them. They donate them. And they give textbooks to Africa. Anything they sell, they give the proceeds to literary organizations. There's a number of those online.
Do they give to schools as well?
I'm not sure if they give to schools, but I know there's organizations, unfortunately, they don't take books themselves. They only take financial contributions that do give to schools themselves. Mm-hmm. It's not always easy to find places that will take used books because it takes a lot of effort to go through used books and make sure that they are ones that are actually the content's acceptable, that they're still usable. So this is why I wrote the article, because you really need to make sure that what you're looking for will take the books and don't just want financial contributions.
Right. And it must be hard to give to a school because they have to match it with the school's curriculum. And
exactly.
Know. Okay.
Exactly.
Well, we're starting to get some calls already. Anne in the East Village. Hi. Welcome to the show. Anne in the East Village?
Yes. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah. I'm drowning in books, and yet I sometimes think of a book I gave away and think, oh, I'm sorry I gave it away, and I end up back on the internet trying to get another copy. I had a wonderful edition of A Child's Garden of Verses. My mother used to go to church bazaars and synagogue bazaars and buy old books for me when I was little, so they were already old when I got them, and they were very special and different than the books that were coming out at the time of my childhood. And I gave away this copy, and I ended up on Abe Books trying to find the exact edition again. You know, and it's like I try to get rid of books, and they seem to be coming back.
Well, Alina Tugend, do you hear that story a lot from people, that they gave away a book, and then that turned out to be the one they wanted back?
Exactly. I think that's exactly what people feel. They feel that they're ready to give it up, and the next thing they know, they're online saying, I guess I wasn't ready to give that one up. I think that's a very common story.
So, Anne, let me just ask you quickly, what led you to decide to finally part with it? You know, what did you do with it when you decided to get rid of it?
I thought, I'll give it to a younger relative. I love this book. I want to share it with a child to, you know, have the same wonderful experience. And I gave it away years ago. And then, you know, once I realized you could find anything on the internet, that book kept coming back in my mind. And it was illustrated with black and white photographs by the photographer Tony Frizzell. It was a...
All right. Well, thanks. So no good deed.
Yeah.
All right.
Find it again.
Alina, I've also heard different ideas from staff members here at WNYC. I know of a producer who puts books that she's ready to part with on her stoop in Brooklyn. Someone else here recommends the website paperbackswap.com. Have you come across those methods?
Yes. I got a lot of emails after I wrote this of people recommending that website. People seem to like that a lot. There's also one called bookcrossing.com, where apparently you can put a label that you can print out from the website, and you leave the book somewhere, and then someone picks it up, and then signs onto the website. It's almost like a Where's George, where you can track where your book went around the country and who's read it, or around the world, as a matter of fact. And people seem to like that idea a lot.
Okay. We've been taking calls on what you do with your books if you're a book hoarder. I'm Beth Fertig, filling in for Brian Lehrer, and my guest is Alina Tugend, a New York Times contributor who's written about the problems of reading too many books. And we're also taking your calls at 212-433-9692, as well as our website, WNYC.org. You can just post your comment if you want at Brian Lehrer Show, and we'll have a host of people's suggestions and the like. Jenna from Manhattan, you're on the air. Hello. Welcome
Hi.
To the show.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. So what's your book hoarding problem?
Well, my husband is a fanatical book hoarder, and I'm a minimalist, and we're constantly at odds about this. And actually, I just called him when I heard the show was coming on. I said, honey, turn on NPR, listen to Brian Lehrer. They have a thing about books and how to get rid of them. And he said, I don't want to hear that show, and basically hung up on me. So what do you do when...
I don't know. Alina, do you think marriage counseling is in order, or is there a way to resolve this?
Well, you may. I mean, I don't know if he doesn't even want to listen to the show. I don't know if he's willing to call in a professional organizer. It sounds like that's what they do. They help you work through exactly that issue. I mean, has it gotten to the point where you really can't fit any more on your bookshelves?
Well, they're actually stacked floor to ceiling.
Have you tried built-ins?
Well, we may have to look into that, but we may have to move out of our apartment, actually.
How many people do you think leave their apartments just because they can't store all their stuff?
I think people actually put them in storage sometimes. They actually pay for extra storage. But, I mean, the question really is why he can't get rid of them. I mean, why, you know.
I do think he feels like it's a part of him, and he's so attached to them, and he doesn't want to let them go. It'd be like losing an arm.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what people say. I mean, people really... Well, I feel like I'm not usually going to reread most of my books. There's a few I will, but if I'm not going to reread it, I'd rather have someone else read it.
Right.
All right. Well, thanks for your suggestion. We're going to take a quick break. I'm Beth Fertig, filling in for Brian Lehrer, and we're talking about what to do when you've got too many books. We'll be right back. Feel free to give us a call at 212-433-9692. We're back with the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC Radio 93.9 and AM 820 and on the web at WNYC.org. I'm Beth Fertig, sitting in for Brian, and we're talking to Alina Tugend of the New York Times about used books. And we're also going to be joined in a few minutes by Fred Bass of the Strand Bookstore and Tom Wayne of Prospero's Books. Alina, one of the options you listed in your article is reselling your used books. So our next guests are going to join to talk about how that works. Fred Bass from The Strand, tell us a little bit about how picky are you when you take back books from people?
Well, the books have to have resale value. They must be in good condition, and they have to be quality books. But we do buy complete libraries. And many of them, there'll be a library of 1,000 books, and we can really use 300 of them, but we take the rest. Somehow or another, we're able to recycle the rest, and sometimes I consider myself a recycler of books and ideas. So the only things we throw up and discard are really things that are ratty, torn, dirty. Otherwise, we manage to get rid of them. And We have bargain tables outside. People seem to love that. And I'm always astounded when people say, oh, they have difficulty getting rid of their books. The only reason they have difficulty is the books have seen better days and better times, and nobody wants them. But we're generally able to buy them as long as they have some quality material with them.
So a few coffee stains isn't going to kill the deal?
Yes, a coffee stain will kill the deal. It absolutely will. Things like that, and they're sloppy and they're generally dirty, and when you start finding things like that, and dusty, dirty, we can clean the dust off books, but not the dirt.
Okay, and Tom Wayne, you're also on the show. You're the co-owner of Prospero's Bookstore in Kansas City. Welcome to our show.
Hello.
You made news when you burned part of your inventory. Now, I gather this was for show. You weren't burning books because you hate them. But why did you do this stunt?
Well, it's we couch it as a act of performance art and also a satiric statement on a culture that has a disconnect between what it says and what it does. And we underscore that disconnect by referencing retailers and libraries and the staggering waste stream of books that a lot of them, not all of them, do generate. That, in conjunction with an NEA study that we also referenced that talks about falling literacy rates. In 82, the NEA, they actually did a 16,000-person study over 20 years. They found that in 82, 57% of Americans said they read one book a year. That fell to 46% in 2002, and with that graph line, in a few years, it's approaching a third. Those two things allowed us to hold up that classic art-life mirror and say to society, say to culture, by your actions, you are burning books, so here is what it looks like.
Well, was your stunt successful?
Excuse me?
Was your stunt successful?
It was wildly successful in that we got a lot more attention than we thought. I initially did it also to call attention to, over 10 years, I've amassed over 20,000 books that were in storage off-site away from my bookstore, and I figured with some publicity, somebody would up and take these books. A prison system, a small town library, inner city schools, something like that. That has yet to happen, although the stock has dwindled a little bit. I've subsequently rented a storage unit, and they are now at the curb in front of my bookstore. And we're planning on doing another burn on September 2nd, day before Labor Day, because they have not disappeared. And we had a few thousand emails that were all over the board as far as response go. One thing that was interesting, the more literate and the more bibliophile-like people were, the more they liked what we did because they saw the falling literacy rates getting some national attention for once.
I want to ask Alina Tugend about that, mm-hmm. our New York Times contributor. Do you think that, you know, the people who you're talking about who have so much trouble parting with their books, that's a pretty rarefied segment of society, right? You know, and so I'm wondering, is the falling literacy rate a sign that perhaps the people who do love their books may feel more as though they cherish their books, that they are part of this subculture of people who read and really love to read, which is not really the American norm anymore?
Yeah, I think that's actually a good point. One of the things that started me writing this article was that book burning that you're referring to, that your guest is talking about. And I thought, oh, gee, it's impossible now to get rid of books. You know, nobody's reading. And, of course, when I start
reporting
this,
that.
You know,
sorry.
When I start reporting this, I found that was not true. That was not true at all. And so I found out that, you know, in fact, many people are reading, many people love their books. But I think, Beth, what you're saying is true, that there's probably an element of that books, people feel even more strongly about their books as they feel that people are turning online, that there is, that there perhaps it's becoming, even a rarer thing, a lost art in a way.
Well, we are taking calls, and we have Inga from the Bronx on the air right now. Inga, what's been your experience with trying to get rid of books?
First of all, hello, good morning.
Good morning.
I volunteer at a thrift shop, and people donate there, so do I. And we hand to customers, we give them let them choose books free. And it's surprising, we never used to be able to sell our books, but it's surprising how our large volume dwindles down, including a lot of children books. And people come in and take stacks of books that they otherwise wouldn't have bought.
And where is this thrift shop?
That's on City Island in the Bronx.
Okay. So it's not exactly competition then for the Strand, is it, Fred Bass?
No, I mean, not at all.
No, not.
We don't want people giving things to
but
thrift shops.
But we feel that way people get books and get involved with books that otherwise wouldn't have bought them.
Right. Well, that's a small community where you could probably, you could do that there on City Island. Thank you for your call.
Well, I think any thrift shop could do that, and I'm sure, or any place could do that, and I'm sure people would take them if they didn't want to buy them. They at least say, well, it's free, we might as well. And they really take full bags.
Thank
you. One problem I have a lot of German books, that I have a problem getting rid of because obviously they are not people that are reading German.
Okay. Well, thank you for your call. Fred Bass at the Strand Bookstore. Do you find that it's do you specialize in people who have books in maybe different languages? Is yours a good place for people to go, or where can they go to take their books?
Well, we foreign languages are a low part of our business. We do buy French, Italian, Spanish, and German. Because we do have customers for them. But we're very careful with them because we really don't have expertise in the field and not enough people who know the languages working for us. However, what I do challenge is the literacy thing. If you come into the Strand on a weekend, on a Saturday or a Sunday or a Friday, we're jammed, and there are people that are readers that are coming in there, serious readers. That are still buying books and looking for the intellectual things that they want.
But we're here in New York City. You're in Manhattan, and you know, do you really think that's representative of the country as a whole?
Well, I think people who go to bookstores generally are literate.
Right.
There may have been a literacy rate decrease as far as reading a book, but we're also great magazine and newspaper readers. So we have many readers, and one thing leads to the other.
Alina,
there are people that watch TV shows, and I one example is when the Burns thing came on the Civil War, we had a boom.
The documentary.
A really boom in Civil War books.
Right.
And the TV stimulated that.
So let me just ask Tom Wayne from Prospero's Books in Kansas City, do you worry about the decline in literacy? Do you think that that's been an issue in trying to get rid of books now?
Well, I think that's more of a cultural indicator as to where things are going. As Fred says, there is obviously a reading public, and they do come to use bookstores. And I understand what Fred says, and there is, with a little effort, yes, you can give books away. I've run a bookstore for 10 years. It took me a couple of years before I ever even threw a book away. Granted, it was beat up, maybe I had a copy, it was coming apart, but all of a sudden, and this was about 6-8 years ago, it was a paperback book, and I remember the moment because it was an epiphany to me. You know, I'm shelving books, I got a lot of books, I'm running out of shelf space, and I finally threw a book away. And it was a strange sense of, dare I say, power. But yes, books are sacred, and anybody in the book business knows that. But it was at that moment that I came up with the idea that, as a statement, to draw attention to what is going on with books, to burn them. And I dragged the idea around for years before we did it. Once my volume of books got so big, you can get in the car, drive around town, give away a box or two or six, but that becomes, once you thin your stock and you buy a couple libraries worth of books, you can't do that because it's just you don't have the time.
Well, can I ask both you and Fred from the Strand to comment on just what books are resellable and which ones aren't? For our listeners who are getting ready to part with something, does the quality of the binding matter? Fred talked a little bit about it can't be too stained, dust we can deal with, but what about what types of books you can take back?
Well, the longer you're in the book business, I think the pickier you get, and that's one thing I've found. As my store's filled up and my collection has become better and better, you just get pickier and pickier because you become more of a curator, and then you have this backlog of books. And I take, I will take torn up books with coffee stains if there's certain bestsellers. I mean, A Brave New World, in 1984. Ayn Rand's books, beat counterculture stuff in our bookstore is a big seller. But those books I will take in rattier form. But in general, I get pickier and pickier, and that causes me to just, you know, have more and more stuff I can't move.
Okay, and Fred Bass?
Well, I shouldn't say we will take everything, but if there's enough quality books in the collection, then we will take the rest. And those we manage to move out on bargain tables or do sell them out in one way or another in some bulk sales that we make occasionally.
And do you
but
also
what we really want is the quality of books, as Tom says. You need the things that are in demand, like the Brave New World and the Ayn Rand people, and I agree with them 100% on that.
How much do you rely on the web?
About 25% to 30% of our business is over the web.
Okay, and do you think that it represents a threat to the bookstores, the other websites out there that are taking the books?
No, I think it's just been a stimulus to us.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think it generates a bigger market in an interesting way.
Okay.
We have three big shelves that we keep outside under an awning that are stocked full of books all the time. They're dollar books. We don't move them in at night, and granted, they disappear, but we, you know, we're right on a bus stop. We're right next to a major hospital, so we, you know, those books do disappear. However, we do collect more than we have room to put on our essentially free shelves.
All right. Well, thank you, both of you. I want to thank the professionals, Fred Bass of The Strand and Tom Wayne of Prospero's Books in Kansas City. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Beth Fertig, sitting in for Brian Lehr, and I'm also speaking with Alina Tugend, who writes some of the Shortcuts columns in the Saturday Business section of The Times. We've been talking about used books and how difficult it is to get rid of them, and we've been taking your calls at 212-433-9699. That's 212-433-WNYC. Ted from Manhattan, I hear you're a book addict. Welcome to the show.
Yes, I am. And thank you.
Sure, confess.
Interesting topic. I basically have almost stopped buying books simply because I don't have room for them. On the other hand, I cannot, if books are left in the hallway, say, if they are interesting titles that I don't have, it's awfully hard not to take them in. But on the other hand, one of the things I've done, because I still like books, I have joined a private library.
And has that helped you
stop
collecting
them? The library helps me with access to the books at the very least. That library, do you want to know which one it is?
Sure, tell us.
New York Society Library in Manhattan.
Okay. Well, thanks for that tip.
But let me just tell you one more thing. I have attempted to give books to libraries. I was at a library last week when someone came in from a local seniors group that had its own circulating library with a bunch of books, some of which were very desirable, and that local public library had changed its rules and no longer was accepting books under any circumstances.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you for that point. Alina Tugend from the New York Times, do you find that some libraries are being pickier? Because you've recommended strongly that people bring their books to libraries. Is it getting a little tougher, though?
In some cases, it is. I mean, I do recommend they bring them, but they do have to be careful. Again, they can't just bring any old books. They have to be sure they're books. My librarian said a book has to earn its keep. That means it has to be able to be checked out. Somebody's going to have to read it. Don't bring old books of instructions, out-of-date travel books. Those things just aren't going to move, and they won't sell. My library has a rule that you can bring one box of books a week, you know, no more than that, to donate. And that's a box that you can carry and that you can fit through a door.
Okay.
So, you know, we recommend libraries because obviously they're there, they love books, they want them, but they are getting inundated in a lot of cases.
Very quickly, Kathleen from Manhattan, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. I just wanted to mention that I donated a whole wall of books to different organizations, and one that I found very helpful was Books International. And they are located in Kentucky. And instead of sending the books to Kentucky, I asked for addresses. They have places that are looking for the kinds of books that you have. And so I sent 4 boxes of books to Romania and 4 to the Philippines, and I use the postal system. They have a special rate called MBAG. So you put them in a box, you bring them to the post office, and they put them into a mail bag. And I think it costs, you know, 10 or 12 cents a pound.
Wow. All right. Great tip. Thanks very much.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you for joining us. Alina Tugend, we still have you with us from the New York Times, but we're going to also invite in to join this conversation Mark Joseph. He's a photographer who's gone around the country photographing mainly used book and record stores for his book New and Used. And we have a link to some of the images in the book on our show page if you go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. Welcome back to the show, Mark Joseph.
Thank you.
So is there a particular aesthetic to books and bookstores that goes beyond the content of any particular book? Is there something about them that's drawn you to this? Because I'm looking through your book and, you know, there's definitely like the texture of the books and the feel of the dust and all of that that comes across.
Yeah, I suppose it is all of that. The book does have pictures of places that sell new books as well. But mainly most of them had new and used. The Strand was someplace where I made some photos. But yeah, I suppose that aesthetic is very appealing. I mean, as a visual artist, you step into a place like the Strand or a lot of other music in terms of a music store over on East 4th Street, and you're kind of overwhelmed with visual information. These are analog things, physical things. So the idea that you could look at something and consider it and judge it and then essentially make the decision to possess it right then and there is a pretty exciting experience. So that's part of what drove me to start making this this body of work, which are also pictures that I created for exhibition as well.
And there's also some juxtapositions, right, of what is on the spine of each book.
Yeah, that happens. I mean, the previous speaker said something about how these shops are curated. And yes, that's true to an extent, particularly with the smaller shops. One place I visited in Texas is a place owned by Larry McMurtry called Booked Up. And it's in Archer City, Texas, which is where the film The Last Picture Show was shot. I think maybe there's 12 or 16 buildings in the whole town. And he has four of them, and they are full of books. It was unbelievable, and it was something that I'm still sort of trying to assess the experience of, because I kind of liken it to something across between a bookshop and a Richard Serra sculpture, a type of space that you enter and then you leave it sort of with a changed view of how you see the world. I have a feeling, and I don't know, I've never spoken to the man, but I have a feeling that maybe he's trying to acquire every cast-off book in the state of Texas, because as I was there, there were trucks pulling up still bringing books. So I have to beg to differ with the gentleman who burned books. I don't necessarily approve of that, especially in this day and age of us needing to recycle as much as we can. And my father, who's a big history buff, told me years ago, if a culture starts burning their books, be careful because their people are next, which is maybe a little bit of an intense analysis of what the gentleman did. But in any event,
there's so much clutter in these photographs. You know, I'm looking at one, and I don't know what store this is if you take a look, but, you know, you'll see like an old globe and, you know, an old telephone with dictionaries and old bestsellers and biographies. And talk a little bit about what it is that you're trying to capture with these images.
I just sort of felt that I was entering into spaces that are very much sort of haphazard in a certain way. But that also reflect what the people who work there are feeling, sometimes as much as or more than the owner of the places. You know, the people who work there tend to spend a lot of time in those places, and the people who visit there as well. That particular one, the name is not coming to me right now that you showed me, but it's a place in San Francisco, and there were a lot of chairs or people could sit around. I mean, it was something that was a cross between a bookshop and a reading room, in fact. So I suppose you get drawn into this type of thing. I was trying to be very careful not to photograph too many old things per se. Certainly, and I know this is sort of a little bit off topic, but new books also possess a particular graphic quality and a particular physical quality, same as or maybe a little bit different from old and used books as well. So it was more about what the what the combination of all of these things does to you visually when you enter into these spaces, and when you consider that something you might pick up, because you're drawn to it visually, or maybe the words on the cover semantically are appealing to you graphically, and that you could sort of pick it up and look inside and consider it for a moment, and that you would take it home and it might alter your thinking for a time, or maybe for a long time. It could alter your thinking for life or inspire you on a certain path. So these physical spaces is what was the point of it.
How many books did you end up buying in the course of your travels?
I actually was very diligent with myself, and very disciplined and very ruthless, and made sure not to buy too many. It was actually, by taking my view camera into these places, it was a way of reconsidering the experience entirely. So in some ways, I didn't necessarily have to buy books, but yeah, I mean, I brought home stuff all the time. I brought home some things from the bookshop in Texas.
And did you purge when you came home? To make room for them?
No, actually, that's a whole other topic. I mean, you'd have to invite me back for about an hour to get into what that would entail at my home. So,
all right. Well, Alina Tugend, I don't know if you want to throw in your two cents here, but have you visited any of the bookstores that he photographed? We have a link on our website to some of them. And did you find it also difficult when you were visiting stores to not pick up a few while you were there?
It is difficult. I tend to do libraries now, as people have said, because I have very little room on my bookstores, on my bookshelves. But one thing I did want to throw in my two cents in terms of donating books is people did mention, emailed in, and I think it's a good idea, donate to prisons. Mm-hmm. Apparently they're always happy to get them, and to military organizations, USOs. Apparently anytime military personnel go through these USOs, which are all over the country, they can pick up books and drop them off, and that's also a great way to donate.
Okay, we have one caller I just want to get in before the end of the show. Richard from Manhattan, welcome.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Great. I just wanted to comment. I mean, I got into the show late, and I'm wondering, is this such a terrible thing to have? I mean, I have a friend, she's got about 500 pair of shoes. I'd rather have her have 500 books than 500 pairs of shoes. I think everybody in this country has something they collect, and maybe this is a good thing. Maybe this isn't so bad. I live in New York City, and I know it's a problem with space, but
okay. Yeah,
considering that not enough people read to begin with, you know, maybe this is a good vice.
Well, let's leave on that question. Mark Joseph, photographer, and Alina Tugend from the New York Times, what do you each think of that?
Go ahead, Mark.
Are too many books ever a bad thing? No, I wouldn't suppose so. I kind of like to consider it, particularly, we have a lot of art books, and that, you know, for me, it's a question of considering them perhaps as places. There's a lot of places that you'd be very happy to visit over and over and over again, and certainly with art books, for me, that happens to be the case. With certain poetry books, that's absolutely the case. Certain, literature, of course, you can revisit as you'd visit a place. Maybe look at it and think of it as a place. If it's a place that you wouldn't ever go back to again, then I suppose there's no harm in getting rid of that book. But
although we did hear from the couple where, you know, one person wanted the books and the other didn't.
Yeah. I'll try to stay away from that topic.
So how about Alina? Alina, would you like to answer the caller's question?
I mean, I think I'd rather have too many books than just about too many of any other thing. On the other hand, and we do, we have loads and loads of books, though we've purged thousands of them. But on the other hand, unlike shoes, other people can take enjoyment from your books. So rather than them gathering dust, a great book should be given to someone else to read, I think.
All right. Well, we'll leave it at that. Thanks so much, both of you, and for our other guests who were part of this segment. This is The Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC Radio, 93.9 and AM 820, and we're on the web at WNYC.org, where you can see some of Mark Joseph's photographs and a link to his book, New and Used. I'd like to thank him, as well as Alina Tugend from The New York Times, who writes about books. Thanks, both of you. Next up, we're going to be hearing more about the fire at the Deutsche Bank building.
Looking at the floor, people talk to a book about yourself, the people left it on the shelf. You write another one, now you've got a story that's worth